This is episode 89 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
It seemed that for a while the pendulum was swinging in terms of having a general curriculum for all children.
High expectations, yes.
And they would all end up being prepared for community college, right. for college, for post-secondary education. And I think because the curriculum didn't change enough in terms of the way it's taught, and a lot of the students are not doing well. Mm-hmm. So then you hear saying, well, college is not for everyone. It's important to alert the whole community. Do you want your kid? Is your kid college material? Mm-hmm. But you decide, not the school.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes Podcast. I'm Christy Goodman here with Aurelio Montemayor. We're going to be talking a little bit about our La Semana del Niño Parent Institute that we held last month, and wanted to share with you some highlights of that. So welcome, Aurelio.
Hi.
Now, we've been doing these parent institutes for a while. Talk a little bit about how that came about in the first place, and what's unique about what IDRA does with them.
Well, about 20 years ago, I guess, we started with having, we chose to focus on bilingual early childhood because there was no conference being held on that issue.
Right.
And IDRA, whose interest has always been in supporting all children in learning, but especially subgroups such as English language learners, we felt we needed a coming together of educators, materials, things being done in the field. And soon after that professional institute started, we decided to have a parent institute along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this parent institute was for parents to come and learn about things, show off what they could do. And early on, we wanted to make it a place where not only professionals presented, but parents presented as parents. And so we've had quite a history of parent groups many a times presenting for the first time, and sometimes we help them prepare. We do training of trainers, and they come and present on a variety of things. They've presented on special ed needs. They've presented on programs that are home visitation programs. And so the tradition continues, and we had some groups come and present this year.
And we had people from across the state and outside of the state as well?
Yes, we had some out-of-state visitors. We had about close to 140 people there.
Okay.
There were many, many different things going on. And we had from all over the state of Texas, from El Paso, from Houston, from the South Texas, from the Valley. It was a very good spread.
And all bilingual, English, Spanish.
All the presentations were conducted bilingually in English and Spanish. We had some people that knew very little English, some people that knew no Spanish, but the sessions were handled. And that's one thing that we model, this constant going back and forth, code switching, and there's controversy about it, but we found that we'd rather keep everybody in the room and talking to each other and translating back and forth.
Yes. And the energy in the room shows that that works for the participants.
Yes. It might be that you cover a little bit less content or it takes a little bit longer, although I don't think it does, but you get a lot of interaction across language groups.
Well, share some of the objectives of this year's institute.
Well, our objectives were to participate in presentations by parent leaders in education, to obtain information on various educational topics, to network with other parents and educators, and especially to gather information about families' education rights, responsibilities, and resources.
Yes, all of those. Well, let's talk a little bit, or give some highlights of what some of the topics were that we're focused on to show the range of what we cover, because it's not just about being involved in the sense of volunteering at the school in their traditional sense, but more engagement. So let's start with the Comunitario, for example.
Well, those are my pets, I guess, because I work with them. I know them there. There's a group in South Texas. The organization is called Arise. And we've had already some podcasts on this new PTA model, which is a community-based model. But not only is it community-based, but in this case, it's a grassroots Spanish-speaking organization. So most of their meetings are held in Spanish. And they created a new kind of PTA. It's an official PTA. They've got their card-carrying PTA members, but their focus is neither fundraising nor volunteering, but looking at how to create schools that work for all their children. I mean, they're really focused on graduation rates, on preparing kids for college. They're very concerned about discipline, all kinds of essential issues in education. And it's especially heartwarming to me because we knew that they would be interested in those things, but it breaks the mold of people's image of what parents like these are like. And so four ladies came up. The daughter of one of them came up, and she helped do the translation, young college freshman. And they were marvelous. They were scared out of their wits because it was their first presentation and then at a state conference.
Right.
And they had to drive up 4 hours to be here with us. But they presented twice and they got really, really nice results to the point that several people said, we want to do something like this in our own community.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, good validation for what they've been doing, too, in addition to what the results they're seeing with their kids.
And, you know, what's really not just heartwarming was so good about it is that the four ladies presenting are leaders within that organization. Mm-hmm. Two are staff members, two are volunteers, but all of them to a person a few years ago was a housewife in a kitchen, never thinking that she would ever do anything but raise kids and be at home. And now they're leaders, they're working centers, and it was just great.
They're advocates. They're powerful advocates now.
Yeah. Very assertive.
Yes.
Very assertive.
Yes, that's great. And then we had some talk about literacy in the home.
Yes, there are some new materials that IDRA has prepared, and there was also a program with some parents that came out from Houston. The literacy in the home is looking at what you do with children at home, and we have the new set of children's books.
Right, and we've done some podcasts about those also.
They're bilingual, and they were modeled there. Mm-hmm. But also the HIPPIE program modeled a particular program that we work with very closely through the PIRC, through our Parent Information Resource Center. And this is a home instruction for parents of preschool youngsters. And it's very useful. It's very practical. Mm-hmm. It's bilingual. It's done in the language of the home. Mm-hmm. And especially for young parents who are new to child rearing, it's very powerful and very good. And there was staff presenting, but also some of the parents that worked with the program. Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Oh, that's good. And then parent leadership and education, which we've also had podcasts about.
Right. Yeah. Well, the model that I'm the lead person on right now was presented by one of our colleagues, and it went very well. She had her full room. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to put room closed.
Yes.
And from what I heard, I wasn't in it because that was another session, but it was very interactive and people left the session just buzzing about it because all of our sessions were designed to be interactive, to have a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversation back and forth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them had actually activities designed to have very, very intense participation.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the participants came in groups together so that they can take it back with
them. Right. Mm-hmm. And what we kept encouraging them was to spread out so that they would be able to attend several sessions and bring that back.
Okay. And then we had Title I, which, of course, is federal policy regarding
And that session,
low-income schools.
That was good. I presented that one, and I think what I've been doing is taking the most boring kind of policy, but that's important, and creating bilingual participatory activities. It's almost like a card game. Well, it is a card game, but I was able to get the participants to discuss intently 36 different discrete requirements that a Title I campus has to, the things they have to do for parent involvement. But what I keep finding useful about that is that what's usually a dry and boring session becomes a very dynamic and very interactive, and they remember a lot of it because they talked about it. So that's what happened
so
in terms
parents
of...
parents are learning their rights, what they should expect from their school.
Right, but also I call it the spirit of the letter of the law because I want them to see the underlying reason for these things.
Yes,
that if a school is required to communicate with you and they just check off because they sent you a letter, it's quite different than the spirit of the law that there was some real communication between school and family.
Right.
And they saw that, and that's very important.
Let's see now, the graduation plans. I know that the issue of tracking, of course, is big here in Texas because of relatively new policy that's gone into effect, but it's in other states as well that are facing this.
It's all over the country, but this House Bill 3 here in Texas, it seemed that for a while the pendulum was swinging in terms of having a general curriculum for all children.
High expectations.
High expectations, and they would all end up being prepared for community college, for college, for post-secondary education. And I think because the curriculum didn't change enough in terms of the way it's taught and a lot of the students are not doing well. So then you keep hearing, even though our rates of children going to college are still very low, especially for students of color, you hear saying, well, college is not for everyone.
Right.
So now we have these different tracks. So you can have what I think is going to be just a certificate of attendance, you know, a minimum requirement, only 22 credits instead of 26 or whatever, and they're reducing the number of credits. And of course, the teenagers think, well, why should I take more than less?
Right.
And then the parents don't know any better. So it's important to alert the whole community. Do you want your kid? Is your kid college material? But you decide, not the school. So I'm afraid we might be going back to the old days of voc ed and useless training or very minimal training. But what's worse about all that is the attitude that the child's brain sometimes can't handle higher math.
Yes.
And that really irks.
Especially if they're from a poor family,
yes,
or a family of color. And,
because when they say college is not for everyone, they're looking at particular,
yes,
people, particular,
yes,
groups, particular neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
That really hurts. But it's really interesting how parents are reacting to this, and they're,
yeah,
really getting wise about it. In fact, they're going to ask questions of schools that schools still can't answer because the new policy is just barely being put,
right,
in place.
Right, right. Oh, and then we had some parents talking about organizing a parent conference for their
own
district.
That was great. They were first-time presenters. They came from a small town about 60, 90 miles away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a staff person that came with the four parents,
mm-hmm,
but she just introduced them. Their room was packed. I couldn't get in. They,
wow,
shut the door on it.
Wow.
And the four parents presented how they've put conferences together, and they gave a very wonderful workshop to the participants, how do parents can put together a conference for,
mm-hmm,
parents by parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect echo of what we try to do with,
right,
these two, that is for parents by parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
and they've been doing that. They were exemplifying how to,
yeah,
do themselves.
Yeah, they were good. And again, there were some of them were first-time presenters, but they dressed in this, they all wore similar outfits and,
yeah,
the t-shirt from their campus and,
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They looked really cute,
oh,
really nice.
Good.
And the people left it buzzing. They really did,
oh,
a good,
that's
job.
That's good.
Yeah.
And we had someone with LULAC talking about their education.
Right.
Advocacy kid.
The point person. She's actually an administrator who is very active. She's the point person statewide for the League of United Latin American,
uh-huh,
Citizens for LULAC,
mm-hmm,
for the education issues. And they've taken on a very energetic advocacy policy and created actually a set of materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a kit, an advocacy kit,
okay,
and it's bilingual, in English and Spanish. And she presented to it, and people had a lot of questions. They were very,
okay,
interactive, and
okay,
it was very good. And even though you'd say LULAC is a Latino organization, in that session you had African-American, you have white, you have Latino,
mm-hmm,
people, and they all connected with it. It
That's
was
good.
Really good.
Right.
It didn't feel like it. Well, this is for that ethnic group.
Yes, yes.
The materials are very basic in terms of how a community can advocate for the rights of all children in public education.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm going to put links to information on that and our
good.
Other sessions and previous podcasts on,
mm-hmm,
some of these topics. And I know that there were some participants who work for schools who were parent liaisons and school administrators.
Yes.
So what did they take home, would you
well,
say?
Everybody takes home a lot because the information that's being presented, for example, if parents are presenting, another parent says, well, I can present too,
yeah,
or just take the information that they
right.
give.
Mm-hmm.
But then the administrator, what I really like is administrators and professionals are seeing parents who are, quote, not considered professionals,
right.
doing a damn good job up there, just presenting
mm-hmm.
and doing it in an interactive way. One thing that I want everybody to take away is how we cut across class lines and professional
yes.
lines, and we have parents presenting to the group, professionals presenting to the group, but we stress that sessions shouldn't be just talking heads
right.
and a bunch of slides.
Very important, yeah.
And, you know, we really go for the interaction. And I think the modeling of that is just great learning
yes.
to experience that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
as people were leaving, several school district people, parents who did not present, saying, next year I'd like to present.
Oh,
and that's exactly what we wanted to
that's
hear.
That's good.
A superintendent
good.
Came in as a surprise visit
mm-hmm.
and with some of his staff. And I've known him for a while. I hadn't seen him. And we said hello. I said, how about next year? Your parents said, for sure they're going to present next
oh,
year.
Oh, that's
you know,
good.
He just felt like that little thing. Yeah, my
mm-hmm.
parents can too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I think one thing that IDRA has always had in all our relationships with professionals, with parents, with students, is that we value them.
Yes.
It's an asset-based model. And the best way you do it is that people actually are upfront with their talents, with their skills, with their gifts.
Right.
And it was very evident,
mm-hmm.
very evident.
That's
I think
great.
It was very good.
And we have information on our website also about whenever a new institute is scheduled. We typically do them in April, the week of the child,
mm-hmm.
La Semana del Niño. I'm sure we'll be back again next year, but I'll have links to resources about this last institute if that would be helpful to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. This is good.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org.